I don't know how many of you had husbands that like to watch the wrestling. Do you? Anyhow, mine does, and I hate it. But it was on just on Thursday night. Ruth had it on, and I couldn't help thinking, as I watched them just for a few minutes as I passed through, you know, there's a tremendous fight, isn't it? They're really putting everything they've got into it. And Bruce tells me there's a goodie and a baddie. And sometimes the good one is right on top of the bad one. And, you know, I couldn't help thinking of that verse where it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And, you know, some of the things we wrestle with is our thoughts. They come in and we want to get rid of them and then they come back. You know, I believe a lot of negative thoughts come from the evil one. And you know, sometimes in wrestling, you see a wrestler chuck the other guy right out of the ring, lift him up and throw him down. And I believe that's what God wants us to do with our negative thoughts. I think of my mind as a tape recorder, and I often say, I reject this thought as not coming from you, O God, and I want nothing to do with it. And then we've got to put a positive thought in, don't we? But we're looking at, you know, have you wondered what the very first sin in this universe was? The very first sin. You know, it was the sin of pride. And I'd just like to read you from Ezekiel, and it's talking about Satan. And it says, you were a model of perfection. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And this is how God created Satan. But your heart became proud on account of your beauty. And you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendour. You were blameless in all your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. God calls pride wickedness. You know, there was nothing wrong with beauty and splendour. God had created Satan like that. But a tragedy of tragedies, his heart became proud because of that. And we read on, you said in your heart, this is what Satan said in his heart, said a whole lot of things, but you know, I'd never noticed he said it in his heart. I'd always thought that he said it out aloud, but you know, he didn't. He said it in his heart. In other words, he thought it. And you know, pride is an attitude of the heart. We don't have to say anything, do we? We don't have to say anything, and Satan didn't. He said in his heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, I will make myself like God. Now God judged him, and God cast him out for heaven. And it says, but you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. I threw you onto the earth. Pride always goes before a fall, doesn't it? And ever since then, Satan has been trying to drag us, men and women, down in this area where he fell, in the area of pride. He said, I want to be like the Most High God. And do you remember the bait he held out to Eve? One of the things was, if you eat of this thing, you will be as God. He held the very same bait out to her. He put the bait for her to be like somebody else, for her to be what God had never intended her to be. Eve was not content to walk humbly with her God. And I ask myself, am I? I challenge you, are you content to be what God wants you to be? You know, we sometimes sing that song, just to be what he wants me to be, just to do what he wants me to do. We read in Micah, what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God? Just to be what he wants us to be every moment of every day. I was at a convention last weekend, and the speaker was saying how she was just had been so depressed, I suppose, overburdened with work and everything. She's a very busy lady, and she said to God one day, I resign. And actually she wrote him a little note telling him why. She got on her knees and she handed this letter to the Lord. And then as she waited in his presence, it seemed as though he answered her. And this is what he said. He said many things, but this is a little thing that I just noticed. He said, "I do not have anyone else in the whole world who will do for me what I have created you for. Bloom where we planted, ladies. Let's be content to do what he wants us to do and to be what he wants us to be." You know, we're reading Proverbs. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And do you know what the number one on the list is in that list? Proud look. Haughty eyes and a proud look. And you know, it rather shattered me. That is listed with things like this. Hands that shed innocent blood. We get very angry when we hear of these murders, don't we? As Cynthia said, almost every night. We've been hearing of innocent people being killed. And this proud look is listed with that. It's also listed with feet that are quick to rush into evil. We think of the many robberies, the evil that's done with feet, people running to break and enter and steal. You know, the proud look, that haughty eye is listed number one with those things. In God's eyes, it is evil. Pride is evil. I remember once, many years ago, when we'd been visiting a guy who had a problem with alcoholism. And Bruce was away at this time, and this chap rang. And you know, an elder came to visit me just at that time. I was wondering what to do, Saturday morning. And I just said, "Look, so-and-so's rung, would you, and he needs help." And this man said to me, "I hate drunks." You know, I was absolutely shattered. So often, ladies, we pigeonhole people. We give them labels. I love to think of Matthew. You know, when the gospel writers record his calling, the time the Lord called him, they all say the Lord saw a tax collector and he called him. But you know, when Matthew writes it up, he says the Lord saw a man. Ladies, may we not put labels on people, drug addicts, alcoholics, whatever. May we see people, as men and women who are loved by the Almighty God, and they are loved just as much as he loves us. Homosexuals, true, we must hate the sin, but we must always love the person. The Lord, our Lord, was a friend of publicans and sinners, wasn't he? And I pray that we too may be the friend of publicans and sinners and never look down on people. I wonder what you are saying in your heart. I wonder what I'm saying in my heart. You know, I often think of pride, proud thoughts as something like dirt. You know, housework is something that's never noticed till it isn't done. Isn't that true? We don't go around and tip a bucket of dirt on the carpet and then, you know, mop it up. No. It just comes. And often when we find someone important coming or something, we have a look at our carpet and we think, wow, we better get that vacuum cleaner out. It's there. And when we shake it out at the end, we're often amazed how much dirt is in that vacuum cleaner. And, you know, I believe our thoughts, proud thoughts are like that. They just come and often they can be in our mind and we're not really aware of them. What are some of the things we're proud of? We can be proud of our background. We can be proud of our abilities, of our brain. Maybe we've had the ability to study and do well, college or what have you. We can be proud of our voice. We can be proud of our figure. We can be proud of our hair. We can be proud of our house and garden. So many things. We can be proud of the way God uses it. So many things. I often think of that verse in 2 Corinthians. Who made you to differ from another? And what have you that you didn't receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory as though you didn't receive it? Ladies, who made us to differ from another? I just come back from Israel and I thank God so many times that I wasn't born a Bedouin woman. We could have been, you know. Do we tend to look down on other people? We could have easily been born into that particular race or culture. Who made us to differ from another? And if we have any gifts and abilities, we all have some, but all, each of our gifts and our abilities are given to us by God. Who made us to differ? And what have we that we didn't receive? So, Lord, ladies, we have received them, and as Paul said, why do we glory as though we didn't receive them? Let's acknowledge them as coming from God and give him all the praise and the thanks for all our many, many blessings. What is pride? I asked myself. One definition I saw, pride is an attitude that results from the condition of our sinful heart. You know, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I believe pride is the attitude of putting ourselves, what we think, what we feel, what we choose above God. Above what God thinks, above what God says, above what God wants us to do. I do believe pride comes from not loving God. Pride is not obeying, not trusting, not giving ourselves over to him. I'd like to read just from Jeremiah 13:9. It talks about pride a couple of times there. I did have it fallen out. But Jeremiah 13:9, if you do have your Bibles there. Oh, here it is, sit down. It talks about the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. And it says, these wicked people who refuse to listen to my words. And that's the first point. We don't listen to God's words. Refuse to listen to my words, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts. You know, our hearts are so deceitful and wicked above all things. But these people who are so proud, they follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them. And it goes on to say they will be completely useless. I do believe we do want to be used of God. But you know, if we are going to follow our own ways, if we're going to follow the stubbornness of our heart, you know, that really spoke to me. I thought, that is so true. Aren't we stubborn? Oh, I am anyhow. Stubbornness of our heart, instead of obeying and pleasing God, we will be completely useless to God. And so I believe pride is the opposite to loving God, and that's why he hates it. You know, often in life, as we go through life, we hurt one another, and we get hurt by people, don't we? I believe, ladies, we can't have any relationship without pain, any meaningful relationship without pain. Might be the pain when we hurt that person, or the pain when they hurt us. It can be the deep pain when we lose someone we love. But we cannot have relationships without pain. You know, and when we are hurt by someone, you know what Satan loves to do? He loves to shoot little fiery darts into our mind like this. Think of your hurt. Get consumed with your own feelings. Yes, and we tend to go over and over how we've been hurt, and those feelings can just take over. And you know, we can become paralysed, and we can become of no use to God at all. And I believe Satan will do everything in his power to keep us like this. Keep us filled with self-pity. And we might say, I have a right to be angry, I have a right to be bitter. You know, this is following the stubbornness of our own heart, which is deceitful and desperately wicked. I have a right to be resentful. I even have a right to hate. And you know, when we are resentful and bitter and we don't confess these things as sin, often what do? We do hurtful things back, don't we? We hurt the other person. I'd just like to read Matthew 5:23 to you. And it says, therefore, if you offer your gift at the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You know, as I read this, I find that God is far more interested in our relationships than in our service. Far more interested in our relationships and what we do for God than what we sacrifice, as it were, to God. You know, the preceding verses talk about someone being angry and then someone calling someone names, you fool, and this sort of thing. And ladies, when we're angry, don't we often say things that we really regret? Now, what does the Lord say? He says, if your brother has anything against you, you know, no matter what they've hurt, how they've hurt us, but if we have done anything to offend anybody, the Lord says we must go and be reconciled. And I believe that involves saying I'm sorry and asking for their forgiveness. And yet we like to hang on to our hurts, don't we? The stubbornness of our hearts. We think, well, they hurt me too, they should come first. But I do pray that we may hear the words of the Lord and humble ourselves and be obedient to his word and go to that person. You know, another way pride comes into our hearts is when we start comparing ourselves with people. You know, Paul says in Corinthians, that's not wise. If I compare myself with you and I come out, I think I'm better than you, well, then I come out with a superior feeling and then I become proud and then I become obnoxious. If I compare myself with you and I feel inferior, then I feel threatened, I feel insecure, and I can even feel jealous. You know, in Obadiah it talks about the pride of your heart has deceived you. If I compare myself with you, I am only comparing myself in one area. One area. If I come better, then I seem to think I'm better than you in everything. You know, Paul says it's not wise. Stop it. Don't compare ourselves. Each one of us is unique before God. And God made me, as somebody said, he threw away the mould. Stop comparing. I'd like to read a little poem to you that I love. Be you. Don't seek to live somebody else's life. It's not just you. You have no right to put on a false face, to pretend you're what you're not. Unless you want to rob others, say to yourself, I am going to bring something new into this person's life because he has never met anyone like me. Nor will he ever meet anyone like me. For in the mind of God, I am unique and irreplaceable. You ever wish you were like somebody else? In the mind of God, you are unique and irreplaceable. And I'll just read that little thing that my friend felt God would have said to her. I do not have anyone else in the whole world who will do for me what I have created you for. So let's be thankful to God for the gifts and abilities he has given us. Let's acknowledge that they come from him and let's use them for his honour and his glory. Sorry. You know, I never realised that Paul had a problem with pride. I was reading in 2 Corinthians, where he says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be conceited above measure. There was given to me. From the hand of God, we were hearing about this, it was granted unto us this morning to suffer, weren't we? To suffer. It was a gift from God, suffering. And Paul said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, so that I might not be conceited above measure because of all my surpassing revelations. God had really used Paul and given him some tremendous insights and revelations. And the tendencies, Paul was just the same as us. And he had a tendency to become conceited, and God gave him a thorn in the flesh. Actually, it wasn't a little thing, it was something like a stake. And Paul actually uses the word to torment me. It was not a little thing. I'm sure it caused him much pain. But Paul acknowledged it coming from God, and he said, much rather would I glory in my infirmities, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And the power of Christ rests upon him in his weakness. You know, sometimes, ladies, the Lord has to bring pressure into our lives, something that hurts. He has to bring suffering to keep us usable for Him, so that we may not become proud. May we not shrink from it. May we just be willing to pray, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And cleanse me and lead me in the way everlasting." I remember in New Guinea once I lost all my hair in a week, and I used to be able to sit on my hair for so long, it was pretty shattering. And I was out there on the coast alone, and the Lord really dealt with me. He showed me many things in my heart that I was unaware of. Just like the dirt that comes into our houses often, we don't deliberately put a bucket full in, as I say, but our thoughts come into attitudes and they come in, and often we are not aware of how rotten we are. And I remember the Lord just showing me, and there's a song that just expresses the way He dealt with me, I guess, the way it was. He washed my eyes with tears, you know that one, that I might see the broken heart I had was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. He found it full of sin and foolish pride. He swept away the things that made me blind. And then I saw the clouds were silver lined. I'm glad He came so tenderly and washed my eyes with tears that I may see. Often He has to do that. Some of us need more drastic treatment than others. But let's not shrink from suffering. The sacrifices we were reading today of God are a broken and a contrite heart. And these, O God, you will not despise. You know, Paul also said, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Remember Peter? He was so proud, wasn't he? "Even though all the others deny you, yet, well, I won't." And what happened? He fell, didn't he? He denied him three times with oaths and curses. You know, I believe we're in danger as soon as we think, "I'm okay in that area. I would never do that." I believe we are in grave danger. "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." You know, I was speaking last weekend, and one of the things I was speaking on was anger. And you know, the thought came in, "I don't have to worry about that. Oh, you know, that's one thing I don't have to worry about." And you know, I got home, and the next night somebody rang up and said something about someone else that really annoyed me, and I raised my voice, and the next minute he raised his voice, and the next minute I'm holding the phone out here, and the next minute... And I've never done that in my life before. And I thought, and you thought, you didn't have a problem with anger. "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Paul talks about Christians, a definition, those who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Ladies, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Only God can know it. Remember the first time I read this verse in Isaiah? It's a tremendous verse where it says, "Thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." That is a tremendous promise. God says, who is the Almighty, the lofty one, who inhabits eternity? He dwells in the high and the holy place, also with them that have a humble and a contrite spirit, a humble spirit and a contrite heart. Why? To revive the heart of the contrite and the spirit of the humble. Ladies, do you need reviving? I do. And the Lord wants to revive us, revive our hearts, revive our spirits as we humble ourselves before Him. Let's think for a minute of Jesus Christ. One of the questions I want you to think about, was He ever proud? You know, if anyone had a reason to be proud, it was Jesus Christ. Was He ever proud? What did He say? He said, "Blessed are the lowly in heart. Blessed are the meek." He said things like this, come to me. He said, I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest in your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know, I was thinking of a yoke. A yoke is something that joins two oxen. And the Lord wants to get right in life situations. He wants to be right in the yoke with us. Whatever we're facing, he wants to be there. You know, often, if you watch a pair of oxen, sometimes one goes ahead of the other, and that causes tremendous pain. If one draws back, that causes pain too. And I just thought, as we yoked, as it were, to Jesus Christ, do we sometimes run ahead? Do we sometimes draw back from what he wants us to do? You know, that causes him pain. That causes him pain. But he was meek and lowly of heart, and he wants to teach us in these areas. You know, the Lord didn't just say he was meek and lowly of heart, did he? Could we just turn for a minute to John 13? He didn't just talk. He said, I'm among you as one that serves. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. In John 13... and 3. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things into his power, and that he had come from God and that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. This is just before the Lord went to the cross, but what was the Lord thinking? What was in his mind just before he rose from supper and took that basin and towel and stooped down and washed the stinking feet of those disciples? What was in his mind? In verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and this is the part I want you to look at, and that he had come from God and that he was going to God. You know, I think this is a tremendous thing to realise. We have been born again. We are daughters of the King of Kings. We are going to be with God. One day we'll be with him and like him. You and I can walk tall. We are daughters of the King of Kings. And in this little while we are on earth, God has left us to represent him. He wants to reveal his Son in me. And you know, as we do something, maybe it's cleaning the chapel, maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class. That can be monotonous, can't it? Let's remember who we are. Let's be delighting in the fact that we are loved by the Almighty Creator of the universe, that you and I are daughters of the King of Kings. We have been born again, and we are going to God. And that makes all the difference. You know, when we read in Philippians, where we were reading today, the Lord didn't think it robbery to be equal with God, did he? He knew he was from God, he knew he was equal to God, but then he humbled himself. He knew who he was, but then he humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. And I believe as we serve one another, if this is number one in our mind, I am a daughter of the King of Kings, it makes all the difference as you serve. I remember talking to a lady one day and she said, I am not going to teach Sunday school anymore. She said, for 10 years I have taught this class. It's a kindergarten. I had come to church early, got out all the chairs. After they all go, I've had to put them all away. And she said, nobody has ever thanked me. And I just said, who are you serving? Who are we serving, ladies? We're serving the King of Kings. And we are his daughters. We are his representatives. And we're doing it for him. That's whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. And I'd just like to refer again to that passage we were looking at in Philippians chapter 2, as we look at the Lord there. In verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Just like...
Would you please turn the tape over at this point?
And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Just like you to think for a few minutes on those words, he humbled himself and became obedient. I'm sure God has already spoken to you this weekend, and I'm sure he will continue to speak. But whatever he says to us, may we humble ourselves and be obedient. The Lord humbled himself and was obedient. No matter what the cost, no matter how we feel, no matter how it goes against our grain, particularly in the area of saying sorry and asking for apology to someone that has hurt us very, very much. Let's humble ourselves and be obedient to our God. And then just one other thing back there in the earlier verses. In verse 2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look on your own interests, but also on the things of others. Consider others better than ourselves. Cynthia was talking about this morning. You know, everyone has something good in them. And as Cynthia said, sometimes it's hard, but let's look for it. I remember doing a course with some women and we had to write down our husband's good points. And this woman had this bit of paper and she held this pen and she said, honestly, I can't think of one. She said, if I had a book, I could write a book of his faults. You know, I thought that was terribly sad. I knew this guy, he was an ordinary guy. But often in life we dwell on the negative. When we think of a certain woman, we might think, oh, she's a backbiter, she's a gossip, and we say those things. Everyone has some good qualities, and I do believe it's good in life if we can get into the habit of looking for those good qualities and talking about them. Not talking on the negative things, but bringing to mind that good quality and talking about it. So often, as I say, we just get full up with the negative. Everyone is better than us in some area. Let's find it and acknowledge it. Let's make allowances for people. Let's make allowances for people's background. You know, when we become a Christian, we, as it were, a baby. The church is like a family. A new Christian is like a new baby. And I remember hearing somebody say, what happens when a baby makes a smell in the church? We make allowances, don't we? It's only a baby. What about a new Christian? They're only babies too. Let's make allowances for one another, for the influence, for the lifelong, perhaps the wrong habits, for a very different background to what you and I, some of us have had. Let's make allowances for them. Consider others better than themselves. You know, Peter says, be clothed with humility. Just as we put on our clothes in this morning, God would say to us, I believe, be clothed with humility. And I love that part where it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Ladies, I find one of the most helpful prayers to pray, an SOS prayer, is, Lord, give me your attitude. Sometimes we don't know what our attitude should be. I remember a lady coming to me whose husband had left her for another woman. She said, what should be my attitude when he opens the door to come and collect the children to take them out for the day? That's a hard one, isn't it? I said, I don't know. But if you can pray before you open that door, Lord, give me your attitude, he will give it to you and you can't go wrong. Lord, give me your attitude. I pray that it may be a prayer that's often on our lips. I'd just like to close with a little song. Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely honed. Light of Jesus, shining through, giving glory back to you. Amen.